In Proverbs 24, verse 10, Proverbs 24, verse 10, I'm not opening there, I just want to call our attention to it because it's relevant. Proverbs 24, it says, if you faint in a day of adversity, your strength is what? Small. So a believer should understand that there will be days of adversity. And that's one of the background scriptures that we're looking using to look into God's word, because some believers act surprised when they face challenges. They act like God is against them. They act like God has failed them. They act like something is wrong with their walk when they face challenges. But Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have what? Overcome the world. So he said, the things I'm speaking to you now, I'm speaking to you so that in me you will have peace. What did he mean when he said, in me you will have peace? In the reality of my accomplishment, my resurrection, you will have peace. He said, but be of good cheer. I've what? Overcome the world. And as simple as that instruction is, sometimes it looks like it's the most difficult thing for us to practice and to walk in. Okay, the preacher says, if you faint, the word faint there means to give up. It means to throw in the towel. In the day of adversity, the challenge is not the adversity. The issue is that your strength is small. And strength there has to do with your comprehension of the reality of who you are in Christ Jesus. That's the joy of the believer. Comprehending who you are in Christ Jesus. That's the joy of the believer. Now, situations turn around because of who is addressing the situation. Situations are case sensitive. Situations turn because of who is addressing, who is involved in the situation. But whether you are a child of God or you're a child of the devil, challenges come to every man. Temptations are common to men. Say amen. So that scripture says, if you give up. So the issue is not winning. The issue is not that the challenge is so big that you cannot surmount it. The issue is that your strength. So what you receive when you come to the gathering of the saints, which is why a believer should never forsake the assembly of the saints. Your father knows you should be here. Your father has a specific word, what he wants to say to the mouth of the preacher, that will quicken, that will give you strength on the inside so that you can stand your ground. The preacher may not even know what he's talking about when he's saying it, but the father that knows the heart of every single one of his children has provided a community, a place where we can come together to fellowship. You will hear a specific instruction that will strengthen you and that will put you over the challenge or the situation. Because nothing that happens to us catches God by surprise. We are the ones that act surprised. Hallelujah. All right, so Philemon now. Philemon and verse 6. Philemon and verse 6. Are you there? It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you where in Christ Jesus. So we looked at last week that the expression, okay? Your faith coming into expression, it becomes effectual. So a believer's faith, there is something you do to your faith that makes your faith effective. It says the communication of your faith becomes effective. So you can have faith, and you do have faith because you're a child of God. Every one of us has been given the measure of faith. Romans chapter 12. But then the effectual communication of the faith has to do with how much you acknowledge. That's what to recognize. So acknowledging every good thing means there are good things that have brought your attention, first of all, through the teaching of God's word. There are good things that have brought your attention to the reading of God's word. There are good things brought your attention to the meditation of God's word. Let me say that again. There are good things that have brought your attention. The word good things there speaks about what God did for you in Christ. It's called good things. Say amen. Say there are good things that the Father has given to me in Christ Jesus. So in your union with Christ, there are good things. The union is complete. It's the work of God. You are the work of God. But comprehension of those realities is your responsibility and my responsibility. The greatest work God has ever done is in raising Jesus from the dead. Because in raising him, he raised many sons into glory. Hallelujah. Glory also means the place of dominion, the place of authority. But it says the communication, the faith of that victory, the faith that came from that triumph of the ages is the faith of every single believer. You don't need more faith. Tell your neighbor, you don't need more faith. You have the faith of the Son of God. That faith overcame hell, darkness, and the grave. That faith came out of hell, came out of the grave. That faith ascended. That faith sat, and it sat you down also. You don't need more faith. You need more comprehension so that your faith can work. It's a common thing. We think that if I can just have more faith. No, you don't need more faith. What you need is to acknowledge more of the good things that enables your faith to work. So it's more knowledge you need that makes your faith effectual in communication. So if I know more, it means I will increase the circumference of the operations of my faith when I know more. So I'm not to struggle to increase my faith. Well, figuratively, if you want to increase your faith, you simply increase the knowledge you have that makes your faith effectual. It says the communication of your faith becomes effectual as you learn to acknowledge every good thing. It says your faith is the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2:20. We saw that last week. Your faith is the faith of. And I said there's faith in and there's what? Faith of. So because we're doing our best to get as practical as possible when it comes to you facing challenges, when it comes to you standing your ground to receive or to lay hold on what you are trusting God for in any area, because God is not the variable. It is your knowledge base that's available. God is never available. God is willing. God is one way. It doesn't change. It doesn't even individually supervise what you are going to receive because he placed everything at your disposal in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Romans 8. I'm taking us back a little bit to some of the things we've looked at. Romans 8 verse 31. I want you to see what it says. What shall we then say to these things? These things are realities. So what shall we then say? The word say actually means, how will you respond to these realities? So there are realities presented. How are you going to respond? Having heard, having come into contact with these realities. What are those realities? If you start from verse 28, see what it says. Verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for what? Good to them that love God. The word love there means those who have believed. Say, have believed. Now, so those who have believed God and to those who are the called according to his what? Purpose. So look at next verse. It says, for whom he foreknew, the word foreknow means to know all, to so speak, to know in advance. In other words, now, when the Bible says foreknow, people sometimes misunderstand the issue of predestination. Predestination doesn't mean from your mother's womb God has called you. No. When you hear God has come from our mother's womb, what it simply means is this. You were predestinated to receive salvation in Christ Jesus. Predestination simply means God has decided that anybody who believes Christ will be saved. That's predestination. It is not that he picked you in particular. You cooperated with God's predestination by believing. Say amen. Now, if God were to choose you, that means he didn't choose others. But he chose everyone. How did he choose them? By making the gospel available for them to believe. So when you refuse to believe the gospel, you just excuse yourself out of predestination. Predestination doesn't mean before I was born, long before. No. Predestination in Bible says simply means that God has planned. In other words, there's no favoritism, no partiality. When you come into Christ, everything that belongs to Christ belongs to you once you are inside. Okay, say amen. So notice what it says. In God's foreknowledge, what did God plan? He predestinated that anyone who comes into Christ is automatically conformed to Christ in his resurrection. That's important. Christ in his resurrection is a man without sin, without condemnation, without offense, without accusation. So when you believe in Christ, you are automatically, it's an automatic thing. There is no other kind of birth. You are born righteous. You are born victorious. You are already born great. Say amen. That is God's plan. That once you come into Christ, predestination means that God has planned in that resurrection, anyone that experiences the reality of it automatically has stepped into the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. See, I have the fullness of God in Christ. Now it says, to the image of his son, that he, notice, might be the firstborn among what? Many. That is the leader of a new race, the head of a new creation. He's the firstborn. Now again, the Bible use of firstborn doesn't mean the one who is born first and then there's a second one. No. In Bible language, firstborn means prototype. Prototype means that you take a sample. So I like using agriculture because I studied agriculture. Okay, so I've used that several times. By now you should have heard the illustration fact, you should be able to lead it back to me by now. Isn't it? Okay, so if you plant a field with quality seed, particularly from a research institute, the seed is fine. The soil may be variable, but you've planted the seed. The seed is treated. The quality of the seed is assured by the institute. They give you the seed. You plant that seed all over the field. When the time of harvest comes, and it's time to harvest, now, when prospective buyers come for the product, what you do is you go to any section of the field and you harvest a crop. You take it to the prospective buyer to show them the quality of the harvest. Whatever portion of the field you harvest and you take a sample, that sample represents the whole field. So when he arose, is the firstborn means it's exactly how every other person looks like. Listen carefully. This is where meditation comes in. When the temptation to fail and to give up comes to your heart, you tell yourself the sacrifice is too big to permit failure. Listen carefully. There is nothing the enemy can throw because I am not going to hell. I already went to hell in Christ. I came out victorious. So there is nothing that the enemy has again that can truncate my victory. Listen carefully. Whatsoever is born of God, whatsoever came from that resurrection, whatsoever came from the victory of the ages has overcome the world. And the victory is the faith that gave you back in the first place. That's the victory. You don't need more victory. You just need a better comprehension. So when the thoughts of failure come and you want to throw in the towel, you are telling yourself the challenges are too much. No, the victory you have is too much. That it might be the first, the plan is according to predestination, that it might be. It might be means the plan of God is that once he resurrects, once he rises. I know it's interesting. I've tried to share this in, I think, Kingdom Realities or so, to explain that there are two words used to explain or describe resurrection. One of them actually means to quicken something that is dead. Anastasis. The second one means to raise and to keep him standing. Those two words are used interchangeably in the epistles, that it is not just that he rose. Resurrection is more than an event. It's a person. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Hallelujah. I'm the release and the deliverance of men from every work of darkness. That's what it means. Are you with me this morning? So, we're not just celebrating that he rose. No, it is that he is standing. If he's standing, your victory is eternal. Your victory does not fluctuate. It's your comprehension of that victory that makes you stand your ground. If you faint in the day of adversity, you received bad news. They said no. The form was rejected. The application was rejected. You are about to hang your head. You said no in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's why, listen, I believe every believer should have a place where you pace. Don't waste negative situations. Get to a point where you are so groomed in the realities that you have them for breakfast. Listen, when you have repeated victorious experiences, after a while, you welcome trials as friends. That is another stepping stone. I am bigger than this thing. I'm greater than this thing. I will be here long after you have gone. You are telling challenges that way. I'm still going to see your hand because I'm eternal, but you are not eternal. You are temporal. The victory you have is too massive. Can you imagine something God was planning from the foundation of the world, of which you are now a recipient, and you are handling with levity? Hallelujah. That's what we're dealing with. We are handling something that is, this is the dream of the ages. The plan of God. Glory to God. Where were we? We're not here. Hallelujah. Oh, don't let me leave my text this morning. Something is bubbling inside of me. What shall we then say? If God be, hallelujah. Now, the word is not if now. The word is since, because it's a reality. Because you are already predestinated, you are confirmed already. So it's not, you say, since God is for us, who? It doesn't matter who is against us. He that spared not his own son. How was he for you? He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. How shall he not with him also what? Freely give us what? So before you pray, all things are waiting for you. Before you pray. So a believer is pacing in your mind. Is filled with all things that are backing you. The whole of heaven, the angelic forces, they are backing one single person. That man that is in the firstborn, they are backing you up. They are for you at all times, in all situations. No matter how you feel, you shake off feelings of defeat. You shake off feelings of fear and disappointment. You stand your ground in the reality. I am more than a conqueror dream that has loved me. Hallelujah. Since God is for us, it doesn't matter who is against us. It doesn't matter who is against us. So when Jesus began to introduce God's plan from Genesis, look at Mark chapter 11. Again, Mark 11, 22. They were marveling. They marveled at what they saw. Jesus had spoken to the fig tree. I won't say he caused the fig tree, because Jesus didn't say he caused the fig tree. It was Peter who said he caused the fig tree. And Peter wasn't saved when he said so. So, hallelujah. And that's how you get those things from meditation. Peter was not saved. I'm not going to believe Peter's testimony that he caused. What did Jesus say? No man eats fruit of thee hereafter forever. Jesus didn't say, I curse you. No man. And if you understand what Jesus was doing in that passage, it was not the fig tree. The fig tree was just representing something else. Because if you follow that story, a fig tree should not bring forth fruit, or bring forth leaves when there's no fruit. So Jesus saw leaves, and leaves promises fruit. And so Jesus was looking at the religious system that deceived men, that promised them a form of godliness and lack power. I don't have time to go into that today. I've had taught it before. But that's what Jesus was dealing with. That is, he saw leaves, hoping to find fruit, because it is even historically proven that whenever you see leaves on a fig tree, it's going to have fruits. So he was dealing with the deception, that this deception that promises men eternal life and is falls short of giving to them, we are putting that system to shame. That's what Jesus was doing. Well, some of you thought I was hungry and got hungry. Over hunger. Yes. Jesus was much more hungry. He was very angry. So you two have a right. When you're also hungry, you speak anyhow. No. It wasn't about hunger. It was about a fundamental principle. Something was promised through a subsidiary system that did not follow the plan of God. So let's leave all that for today. But look at what Jesus answered and said unto him, leave this place, please. Let me go back. Jesus answering said unto them, have one faith in God, or have the faith of one God. So let me ask you a question. If I'm telling you to have the faith of God as the explanation to what just happened, the people were talking, did they have the faith of God? Did they have the faith of God? No. He was saying, have the God kind of faith. That is the faith that comes into a man of salvation. That's the faith you now have. That's the faith of the Son of God. So what is the condition? Have the faith of the Son of God. The faith that can say to a mountain. So it's not every man. Now, Jesus was the first person to demonstrate that kind of faith. Nobody has demonstrated in this manner. So Jesus said, have that kind of faith. It is the faith of God, which means the faith that comes from you being born of God. Say amen. So let me ask, are you born of God? Do you have that faith? You have the faith of the Son of God. So that faith now, whosoever has the faith of the Son of God, you shall say to this mountain. So the mountain recognizing who is speaking. The mountain recognizes who is speaking. In other words, it is the person that is speaking that the mountain what? Recognizes. It's important. The one who has a right to say. You see, in the scriptures, there's a principle. They will ask a question. Look at Matthew 21 and verse 22. Matthew 21, next verse, 23. When he was come to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people, they came unto him as he was teaching, and they said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this what? Authority. So there was a fundamental principle. When you are doing something, there has to be an authority backing you up. So they will ask Jesus, by what authority? When you come to the book of Acts, they ask the disciples, the apostles, when they perform miracles, by whose name? By what authority? So there's that question. So when Jesus was saying, whosoever shall say, the person that shall say must have the authority to say. The person must have the faith of God. Now, the faith of the Son of God is the faith that raised Jesus from the dead. Say amen. Hallelujah. Now, that faith has accomplished the greatest promise that God has ever made. Every other thing you use that faith for is small compared to what he has accomplished. Are you with me this morning? That's important. But again, notice, whosoever shall say to this mountain, I shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said, it's not a formula. It's not because, okay, if I say it 20 times, Pastor, I should say 50 times. Once you delve into formula, you don't know what you're talking about. Because what did Jesus say? Jesus spoke once in their hearing. It didn't mean that was the only time he spoke. Obviously, when he moved around, he must have been speaking quietly because they didn't need to hear. He just needed to keep saying it. Because he said, whosoever shall say and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things, so nothing, things which he said, or which he keeps saying shall come to pass, he shall have what? Whatsoever he said. So the principle is this, the faith is there. Now you are not saying to get the faith to come. You are saying to release the faith that's already where? In your heart. Are you with me this morning? So whosoever has that faith, this is how that faith operates. You will say. What will you say? You will say to the mountain. You will also keep saying. And that's one of the reasons why, look at Joshua. Hallelujah. You know, when you see the one that is the subject of the scriptures acting on the truth of his own word, you know you don't have any excuse. Joshua chapter 1, from verse 6. Joshua, bless God for our people. Okay, be strong. This is God speaking to Joshua. Let's start from verse 5. Verse 4. Verse 1. Okay, so, now after the death of Moses, servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, say, look at what he said. Moses, my servant, he said, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, unto the land which I do give them, to the children of Israel. Verse 3. Every place is holy of fish shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So from the wilderness of Lebanon to the great river, river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going out of the sun shall be your coast. From verse 5 now, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor what? Forsake thee. Now, notice, God started with Joshua's commission by telling Joshua what was available. This is what is available. This is what is backing you up. Now, look at next thing. It says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people you will divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Next verse. Only. Can you see the repetition? Only be thou what? Strong. Can you see that sounds like if you faint in a day of adversity, the challenge is not that the adversity is greater, because it's reminding him all you need to now be was strong. Now, to be strong and very courageous is your responsibility, Joshua. God doesn't have a problem with the challenges you're going to face. God has put out his word. His word is his bond. God will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. So there will never be a time that God will turn his back when you are facing a challenge, because he has said, I will never leave thee, nor what? Forsake thee. So that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Can you see that? So now, God will not fail. So the where the repetition came, or the admonition came, was in Joshua only. He said it twice. First of all, be strong and courageous. Only be that word strong, a repetition. So, in other words, the individual standing on God's word is the one that needs to be strengthened. He's the one that has the temptation of throwing it over because of the appearance or circumstance around him. So, it says, only be that strong, very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from me to the right and to the left, that you may prosper with us wherever you go. Look at verse 8. This book of what? The law. And some of us think he's talking about 10 commandments or 613 statutes. The book of the law is actually includes Genesis. And if you study Genesis, Genesis is a story of faith, God's faithfulness in dealing with men. That's where you find the first utterance of the promises. So it says, start meditating on that faithfulness. The one that you saw in Noah, the one you saw in Abel, the one you saw in Abraham, the one you saw in Isaac, the one you saw in Jacob, the one you saw in Joseph, start meditating on God's faithfulness in their lives. How I did not fail them. How I did not, so to speak, turn my back on them. Are you with me this morning? It says, start meditating. It says, this book of law shall not depart. Who wrote that book? Moses wrote it. So the experiences of those patriarchs was meant to generate hope in the heart of Joshua. Hallelujah. So it says, it shall not depart out of what? Your mouth. But you shall what? Meditate therein how many times? How many times? So, do an estimation this morning. When you say it's not working, how long did you stay with it? When you say it's not working, how long did you stay with it? Because sometimes when you say it's not working, you don't know the gravity of your statement. It cannot but work because it has worked. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. It cannot but work because it has worked. What you are handling is the word that has worked. Not the word that will work. It is the word that has worked that was given to you. When God is telling you, I will never leave you nor forsake you, even when you don't believe, he will still not leave you nor forsake you. But you may be bereft of the experience because of your comprehension. It has worked already. In Jesus rising, All the promises of God, they are in it, they are what? Yes and amen to the glory of God. It's settled, it is sealed. God's part is done. Your part is comprehension. So God comes to Joshua and tells him, listen, I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you now. The only challenge we may have is this. Don't drop this thing. Don't drop the ball. Put your eyes on the ball. Put your focus there. It says, this book of the Lord, the secret is this. Because fainting happens in the heart. That's where fainting comes. It happens in the heart. That Mark 11, 20, 23 that we saw, it says, and shall not doubt where? In his heart. God is telling Joshua now also, it's about your heart. Only be strong and very courageous. Where are you strong and courageous? In your heart. Nothing was said about God's part except God telling him, this is available. Are you ready? So your preparation of your heart is a response to God's readiness. Let me say it again. This book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth. Because the mouth is how you access the heart. You will do it day and night. Because there are things coming at you day and night. So there is no break in that sense from the meditation of God's word when you have a goal to accomplish. There's no break. Why? The word you are walking has already worked. But you are not going to produce the same effect in your own experience. So it says, it shall not depart. It shall be day and night in your mouth. It says that you may observe to do according to what? All that is written where? Therein. Notice the B part. It says, you will make your way what? Prosperous. You will have what? Good success. In other words, the experiences will not be governed by your activity. God has given you victory. The experience of victory will not be governed by your response and your activity. That's what he said. But this book shall not depart. It is not a few quotations. No. It will not depart means it's your meditation, is your thinking. The word meditate means to roar. You know, many times when people are bogged down with challenges, you can tell from the statements that they are making that they are discouraged. And when I'm doing counseling people along that area, sometimes I bring them into the auditorium. We leave my office. The reason is this. Because I need to jumpstart the person like you want to jumpstart a battery. So I bring them in. If you've ever come to me before, and I notice the way you are talking, you are far from the truth. You are far. In fact, you can't see it. Your eyes are clouded with defeat already. I can see this defeat is resounding in your statements, in your utterances. So I lead you in a walk. Why do I usually do the walk? Because it helps you to focus on what we're doing. I say, Jesus, follow me and say after me. It's like magic. Somebody says, why? You're hearing your mouth say what your heart once knew and seems to have forgotten. You are repeating to yourself the testimony of the victory that has been given to you already. Hallelujah. You are rehearsing all that God has made available for you, and it's echoing back to you back and forth until you drown out the voice of the enemy. No matter how pressured you are, if you can take a walk or a stroll. You know, there are people, believers, who are angry with God. You've not said anything before. They go through the motions in church, but they're angry. You know why they're angry? They believe God has disappointed them. God, huh, you failed me. And then they are too religious to show it. You know, it's very interesting how we are so insincere, we are even insincere with God. They just go through the motions. They're no longer like, when they come to church, they just go through the motions. Let's preach and say, what is, why are these people shouting? This is rejoicing. What is it? Yes, I come to church, I will not go to hell. We have in church. But they're no longer excited. And they're just going through the motions. Fellowship in the morning is no longer exciting. Because you are nursing a grudge against God. The one who rescued you from untimely death. Hallelujah. Because you didn't resolve the issue, and the enemy has planted something on the inside that is making it difficult for your faith to find expression. Hallelujah. You know what the problem is? This book of law has departed from your mouth. Your heart is not reconciled to the reality of the fact that, listen, it's not that God won't fail you. He can't. He can't. Listen, let me say it again, in case you didn't hear. Not that he won't. He can't. Tell your neighbor, God can never fail you. He can never refuse to answer your prayers. Oh, I wish you would believe it. If that is sorted on the inside of you, the journey is shorter. Your journey to expensive victory is shorter. Because the minute you think, how can you think God is supervising your failure? You know, sometimes it's ego for you to think that after all, so and so person made it. So and so person bought car. Some person is not in the house. Some person got the job. But me, listen, you are so big that God chose you out. When is he putting blessing? He told Gabriel, don't go there. That one is hard-headed. So don't go to him. He's stubborn. I want to show him. Our thinking is interesting sometimes. And it's like a wound covered on the surface, not healed underneath. It's affecting the flow. I'm talking to somebody. I know what I'm doing. I am not healed. And because it's not healed, your faith finds as a problem working. Because you actually think that because you trusted God for it. Now, instead of you to look back at the fact that that situation that was not resolved, I need to find out why. And the why can't be God failing me. That's who a believer is. The why can't be God failing me. Jesus went to the grave. He kept saying, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail. The Son of Man will be taken by wicked hands. He will be crucified. But on the third day, he will rise again. You will not leave my soul in hell. In that will you suffer your only one to see. Listen, you think he didn't know God was waiting for, but he put it on his mouth. The word became flesh. And the word that became flesh picked the written word and put it on his lips. That's pure word though. And he kept speaking it. You think he didn't know God was faithful? Because he knew the secret was that your heart must not deviate from God's faithfulness. Hallelujah. It's too late for God to fail you. Hallelujah. It's too late for God to fail you. The minute you know you are positioned, you know. But three things, it is impossible for God to lie. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you want, receive them. And you shall. What does a sound believer do? I must be failing in a particular area in my believing. I need to find out. But it can never be about God's faithfulness. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 18. Let me show you that scripture again so that you see. But as God is true, as God is one, faithful. So a believer is meant to measure God's faithfulness on this reality that I'm about to talk about. But as God is faithful, what is the greatest demonstration of God's faithfulness? How do you measure God is faithful? You're trusting God for a life partner. First person failed. Second opportunity failed. Third opportunity failed. 5 attempts, it has failed. I don't even know what God is doing. He's being faithful to you. You know what you know is what you know. And there are many things you don't know. What you know is all you know. There are many things what you don't know. I've had opportunities that I felt was I lost. And 2 years after, I was rejoicing that I didn't take it. What if you had the privilege of foresight? For you to see that what you were crying over was far smaller than what was prepared for you. All this game of disappointments will stop. All this issue of I'm just angry with God. You are angry with God. How can you be angry with God? The love of your soul. The one that so loved you that he gave. Not that you so needed that you asked. Don't reverse the process. Hearing is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Don't you understand it? Not that you so loved. If he's the initiator, he didn't call you into confusion. He didn't call you to suffering. He called you to victory in Christ Jesus. And nothing else. And nothing else. That's why he says, any area a believer will suffer attack is about your identity in Christ Jesus and what God has done. That's the area all the time. That's what Pastor was saying this morning. That's the area where attacks will always come. Because if you can forget, James chapter 1. James 1, verse 13. James speaks to us about two men. James is an apostle, a foundational apostle. James is writing, not on the surface. James is using the Holy Scriptures, the story in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 to explain something to you and something to me. So when you see James writing, the first chapter is making a distinction between two kinds of men. Don't forget it. So James 1, 13, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. Who is the man that says so? Adam, the first Adam. He's about to tell you the two Adams. So yeah, you recognize them. Let no man say, don't follow this pattern. Don't listen to the voice of this first Adam who accuses God, but does not report the fact that the same God that is saying is tempting him has offered him the tree of life, first of all. Hallelujah. I can't go into that today. Let no man say when he's tempted. Somebody say, when did Adam say so? Read Genesis chapter 3. It is the woman that you gave me. The woman I gave you. That's accusation. The first person to bring an accusation is Adam. That Adam, who was made a living soul in Moses' writing. Let no man say, when he's tempted, I am tempted. For God cannot what? Be tempted with him. Neither does he what? Tempt. He doesn't test any man. He does not. Verse 16. See what it says. But every man, verse 16. It says, do not err. Don't be led astray, my beloved brethren. For what? Every good gift and every perfect what? Every good gift and every one perfect gift. And I've broken down. Every good gift there. I don't know why King James puts it that way. But if you read the Greek rendering, here's what it says. Every good giving. Every benevolent kind of giving. And the gift from that benevolence that will be given to perfect the recipient. That's what he's saying. Let me say it again. Every benevolent giving. And from that giving, the gift that proceeds from it is given to do something to the recipient. So the gift is not detached from you. The gift changes you into the image of the person that gave you. So he says, every good gift and every gift is from what? From above. From the Father of what? Light. With whom there is no variableness, no hidden agenda. No hidden agenda. He's talking about two men. The first man, the one that says, the other one is the perfect gift of God that keeps giving. That's the second man. So he now says, look at verse 19. I can't do verse by verse. Verse 19, please. Wherefore, my beloved, then, let every man be what? Swift to hear. What does every mean? This book of law shall not what? Depart from your mouth. Because you need to hear God's faithfulness. The more you hear of God's faithfulness, the bolder you are with your faith. You don't need to hear testimonies of people that failed. You need to hear about how a 59-year-old woman now has two children in her 59th year. You need to hear about how a woman who has no womb carried a child for 9 months and delivered safely and was a marvel to medical science. You need to hear about how a woman was also and so age got married gloriously after waiting for so. You need to hear how God has been faithful to men all over the scriptures. Hallelujah. He says, let every man be swift to hear and what? Slow to speak and slow to get angry. Look at the next verse, see what it says. For the wrath of one man does not work the righteousness of God. Next verse. Wherefore lay apart what? All filthiness. Now listen carefully. If you are angry at God, it's filthiness. What is filthiness? Superfluity of nothingness. That means you have the wrong knowledge. That means you have taken hold of the enemy's deception. Listen carefully. God gave Adam an offer, Genesis chapter 2, to eat of the tree of life. Adam rejected the offer. In that rejection, Adam sinned. When God came on the scene, Adam was hiding from God. Who came looking for the one who sinned? Adam was looking for God, or God was looking for Adam? Every good and perfect gift. He's the one that still comes looking. Not that Adam was searching, God, where's your face? It is God who was asking Adam, where are you? The character of God is clear from the beginning. Listen, that even when you make a mistake, it's not how to get you, it's how to help you. You have to be fully persuaded. It's how to help you. And that's why we're careful about the kind of doctrine we listen to. I was sharing with Pastor Jimmy yesterday. Somebody sent me a video. I was astounded. They're asking a question. Those churches in the north, they were asking me, is it okay for a Christian to retaliate? If Muslims kill, should a Christian retaliate? And this man of God started talking. May God continue to have mercy. And he took scriptures that have no connection. Oh. I didn't know it was possible to utter in several places at the same time. Listening to wrong interpretation of scripture. I was like, how did you manage this? This concatenation of scriptures. How did you concoct it? He first went to Genesis, then Revelation. Then he came to Peter bringing a sword. To prove that you have to. What's the question? Should a believer retaliate? I mean, if any minute before that way, we have been showing them only one side of God. Let us show them the other side. My father doesn't have any other side. It's only one side my father has. He doesn't have another side. Should a believer defend himself? Yes. You should defend. But if something has happened, he didn't say, go out. Go and take Peter's sword where he left it. Jesus told Peter in the garden, Genesis, Matthew 26. He said, those who live by the sword will perish by the sword. That's not God's way. God's way is the resurrection. Eternal life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Wrong doctrine can finish your life. It can. And this man has a huge congregation. So don't think that because people are like, that means that they are right. No. 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 That's not why God gives them grace. Grace is independent of doctrine. Say amen. It's independent of doctrine. Grace is independent. That's not what determines grace. Grace is independent of what? Doctrine. No. Doctrine is something you learn. And you can be wrong and you are graced. I'm very wrong. The only problem is that more life. All right. So now, so notice what he said. He said, where are we now? We people. Wherefore lay apart what all filthiness. So now you are hungry. He says, that hunger is filthiness. He says, you have not followed through to know, to be convinced. You say that what God is what? Forever faithful. Say, God is faithful to me all the time. There is never a time my Father will ever forsake me. He's eager to answer my prayers. He wants to show me the way. He wants to lead me and correct me and guide me. If any area I'm lacking knowledge, my Father supplies knowledge. Talk to your Father as your Father. Don't talk to him as to God, as your Father. He is now your Father in Christ Jesus. That's very important for you to understand. Because that will help you to be grounded when it comes to God's faithfulness in your life. He is your Father. No good father. You are a father. If you are a father already, you know how you feel when your children are not feeling fine. You know how you feel. If you're a good father, the first thing you feel like doing is that if it's possible for the thing to be transferred to you. Have you felt like that before? So that this child can go to bed. Let it just be. Let me just take it up. That's how I feel every single time. This child can't. Let me just take it. And you being evil. You know how to give goods to your children. How much more your heavenly Father? Glory to God. That's what the scriptures teach. So how can you think he will ever deviate? No. He came to Adam and told him, where are you? I was afraid. Who told you? You are naked. I have never found fault with you. I've never condemned you. I've never spoken to you about your weakness. Who is telling you about your weakness? Because that telling produced fear. And that fear is making you run away from the one who is meant to help you and turn your back. And they never asked for before God clothed them and covered their nakedness. That's our Father. Hallelujah. He says, wherefore lay apart offerings and receive what? Meekness, the what? The implanted word. That's the finished work that brought you forth. Look at next verse. But being what? Doers of the word and not what? Errors only, deceiving your own selves. Next verse, quickly. For if any be a hearer of the word and not what a doer, it's like unto a man beholding what his natural face were in a glass. Again, James borrows a word from Genesis. The word natural face there is the word genealogy. Genesis. Your beginning. You saw your beginning in the mirror. That is, your beginning is not of that man that says, I am tempted of God. Your beginning is with that good and perfect gift that God gave. So you are not of the first Adam. You are in what? The last Adam. You saw your Genesis. You saw that you are the proof of God's love. You saw that in the resurrection, God has demonstrated faithfulness through you forever. You saw it. But what did you do after you saw it? He says, if you are a hearer, not a doer of the word, you are like a man observing your Genesis. You saw your beginning. This is who I am. I'm already more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I'm victorious at all times. I'm led in a triumphant procession in Christ Jesus. I'm born of God. I've overcome the world already. Greater is he that is where in me than he that's in the world. You see all that. This is your Genesis. This is how your journey began. You came out victorious over hell, death, and the grave. You are a master of demonic forces. You are still with him far above all principalities and powers. That's your Genesis. That's your origin. He now says, look at the next verse. He says, for he observes himself and goes away and what? Immediately forgets what kind of man. The word forget means to neglect, not to pay attention. And that's what happens when you pay lip service to the epistles and you don't meditate. That's what happens. Every little challenge makes you fall flat on your face. You are made of bigger stuff. Tell your neighbor, you are made of bigger stuff. Hallelujah. You are world to world victory in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. That's what happens when you don't. You see, every bad news should not make you fall flat. You can easily examine where your faith is by the utterances that come out of your mouth on a consistent basis. Whenever you face a recent or a new challenge, are you going to lock the door and shut yourself in and begin to pace and release words like arrows. Are you going to roar? That's what meditation is. Out. And let the life that is backing that victory come to the surface. Or are you going to bow your head and start crying? You know what you're doing? You are either rejecting the offer of failure or you are releasing the power of victory. You have a choice. The doctor will say what they are meant to say. People around you will say what they are meant to say. You are the establishing witness of either what they say or what God has done. Nothing happens until you make a choice. Nothing happens. So whatever God has made available, he has made available, but you are the establishing witness either of the victory that God has given you in Christ or the defeat that the enemy is trying to peddle your way. You are the establishing witness. Glory to God. So you shall, this book shall not depart. James says, if you are a hearer and not a doer. A doer means you put the word upon your lips. The blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Hallelujah. Say, I've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Nothing is higher than where I am now. Nothing is greater than where I am now. Nothing is bigger than where I am now. It's victory all the way. This victory drowns out every defeat. It swallows up every failure. Hallelujah. You speak boldly. You see, listen, I'm not talking about hoping it works so. I'm talking about knowing it has worked. That's where the challenge is. When you're praying, you're not praying beggarly. That's why you are being conscripted in God's army. Not just to pray for yourself, but to labor in prayer to effect changes in the lives of others. So the one who is busy acknowledging is one who is busy roaring. We shall say, and not doubt in your heart, but shall believe those things which you see it. So how do you get to believe? You acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I know there is a saying that says that confession brings possession. I understand what they're trying to say. But in reality, it is possession that produces confession. You are it first. And you are speaking from the reality of what is. When you want to get saved, it is confession that brings possession of eternal life. But when you are a possessor of eternal life, you speak from the vantage point of eternal life. That you are already a possessor of victory. And use that victory to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Hallelujah. You pace the floor. You stand your ground. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I command you to stop in your operations and desist your maneuvers. I refuse to allow you room in my life or in my experiences. I declare that victory I hold up as a banner. I stand against every fairy dart of the wicked. I declare I have victory here, I have victory here, I have victory here. Nothing about me speaks of defeat. I am victorious in every way, in every area. My song is a song of victory. You sing where you are, you worship. You rejoice like one who is having the answer. Romans chapter 4. You are not forgetting the man of man you are. Romans 4 and verse 16. That's why in the temptation of Jesus, I'm going to go here. Don't go to where I'm about to quote now. Matthew chapter 4, finally verse 4. When Satan came and said that, turn the stones to bread. Jesus looked at him and said, man shall not live by what? Bread alone. That's a direct quotation from Deuteronomy. If Jesus wasn't meditating, how did he know it? That's Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. Man shall not live by bread alone. And if you check the rendering, what he was saying was this. Man doesn't come alive by what he physically puts in his mouth. Man comes alive by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what he means by man does not live by bread alone. It's not that man does not live, but man shall live by bread, shall? I mean, that's a joke. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that, listen, bread doesn't give life. True life comes from the word of God. So he was saying, man will not come alive. The promises of God were given to make man come alive. And that coming alive is, we saw it in the resurrection of Jesus. Say amen. So he was telling, this is what God was saying. He said, man will not come alive by bread, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth. The promises, the utterance of God through the prophets, that's how man will come alive when it's fulfilled. That's what he was saying. That's what he was saying. Glory to God. So when you're processing faith, you have to stand your ground. We rest not against flesh and blood. You stand your ground. The appearance of things is trying to make you discouraged. One report after the other, each one succeedingly discouraging. But before the report came, there's a report that already came of victory for you in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. And instead of meditating on this other report, you need to focus on that report which came before. It is a pattern in the scriptures. Before there was a Satan to tempt Adam, there was a God that offered eternal life. It is what a man minds. So you look at Adam, who ought to look at the mirror of what God was saying and put it upon his lips. He turned away from it and chose something else. But we have another man, hallelujah, the second name, last Adam, who came. And the same name of Jehovah that didn't have vowels, he put vowels inside it and made it more than a phrase, made it a sentence. The same God that appeared unto Moses and said, tell them the I am sent you. I am what? I am. But when Jesus came, I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He kept putting definition to what Moses didn't find complete because it was a completion of that promise. I am. Hallelujah. I am. I am all that God promised. And that is fulfilled in you now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So see what it says? Therefore it's of faith that my people are raised to the end, that the promise might show to what they say. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all. Now look at verse 17. As it is written. I have what? Made it. Look at the language. Now look at how God operates. It was yet to happen when God was speaking like this. This is how your father operates. Your father speaks of the future as though it has happened. It was going to happen, but he spoke of it in the past. He said, as it is written, I have made thee a father, what? Many nations. To a person that was childless. And figuratively, it wasn't Abraham that was even going to be father of nations. It was actually God who was going to father nations. But Abraham was a case study. He says, I have made thee. But it hasn't happened. Why are you talking to me that way? As it is written. Before him, whom he believed, even God. Who is God and what is reputation? The one who quickens the dead and calleth those things who be not what? As though they are. So when Abraham heard that in Christ Jesus there will be salvation, the Christ has not showed up. Salvation has not been manifest. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. So Abraham was acting as though Christ has come. And Christ was yet to come. Abraham believed God. What did he believe? That what God had promised, he was able also to what? Perform. Why are you in a better place than Abraham? You are not believing that what God has promised is able to perform. You are believing that what God promised, he has performed. Your journey is shorter. He has performed it. And while Abraham was looking to Christ raised from the dead, yes, Abraham, his faith was the substance of things he hoped for, the evidence of what he couldn't see. God now gave him something to see in his own life. So when you hear that Abraham considered not his own body now dead, in that the deadness of Sarah's womb, two dead things, and a child came out, it was a parable about resurrection. That out of death, life will spring forth. That was what God was using Abraham's life to. So what did Abraham count impossible? It's not possible for me to have a child. You will have a child to make it easier for you to see that I also raised Christ from the dead. Are you with me this morning? Do you understand so far? Do you understand so far? It's a story of God's faithfulness to man. Abraham, your body is dead. Sarah, your womb is deader. If you can give a child through you, will it be easier for you to believe that I will raise my son from the dead? Will it be easier? Abraham said yes. But that's all I needed for you to say yes. That's why after Isaac was born, Abraham's focus was not on Isaac. Abraham's focus was strictly on Christ. I've shared with us before. If you go all the way down, look at verse 20. Let me show you something. Look at what Abraham believed. He staggered on a promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in what? Faith. How was he strong in faith? He was giving glory to God. And some of you think, giving glory to God, glory, 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 glory. You can even say religiously, glory, glory. On the inside, glory. No. Giving glory to God is the word of God is upon your lips. Do you know the boldness that it took Abraham to go to the marketplace and refuse to be called Abraham? I hope nothing's wrong with this old man, no. Is Abraham used to call you? My name is not Abraham, it's Abraham. Hey, father of nations. He doesn't have anything. And he was correcting them wherever I went. My name is Abraham, not Abraham. But it's Abraham. I say it's Abraham. Until everybody started calling him what? Abraham. What was Abraham doing? like God, who calls those things which be not as though they were. That's the principle. He judged God faithful. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. So I'm being fully persuaded that what he had won, promised, he was able also to. This is where people usually miss it, because you have to stay within context. He introduced Abraham. Nothing here was said about Isaac. Have you noticed that? From verse 16. You know, Isaac was not mentioned once. Where did you start from? It is of faith. Grace, that it may be of faith, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. So we're talking about promise, promise, promise. What's the promise? Like God, who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they are. Who is the dead? Christ is the dead that God will quicken. That's the promise that God gave to Abraham. Isaac was by the way. So whatever was discussed there, he's not even Isaac at all, even though you think it's Isaac. Because look, what did God promise that Abraham believed God was able to perform? Look at the next verse. And therefore, it was imputed to him for what? Righteousness. No, you can't have Isaac and be righteous by having Isaac. Nobody is righteous by giving birth to a child. Are you with me this morning? Do you understand that so far? No, you can't be righteous because you have children. That means those who are 15, they are more righteous. They are super righteous, and you are lacking in righteousness. So have more children so that your righteousness can be beyond the heavens. Amen. No. You have to understand the switch in Paul's writing. He switched. He was discussing promise. What God promised, he was able, because it is in that promise that Abraham was justified. What's that promise? I will raise the dead. The one who called those things will be not as though they were. He quickens the dead. Hallelujah. That's the reputation of God from the beginning. He quickens the dead. So he now quickened Abraham's body and quickened Sarah's dead womb to make it easier for them to evangelize. So I said something last week. The lesser is contained in the greater. Because he has done the greater, every other thing you're looking for is lesser. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Whether it be a job, whether it be a partner, whether it be a business, whether it be work, whether it be a fruit of the womb, whatever it is, stand your what? Ground. He has no favorites. God doesn't do favoritism. If he was faithful to those who had a promise, he's more faithful to you who has a reality. Don't forget it. What do? You stand your ground and you keep declaring. You stand your ground and you what, God? Keep declaring. It doesn't matter the challenge. You just stand your ground, keep declaring. A believer is a professor. You are professing what God has done in Christ. And you don't stop professing it. So when things look hard, if God sends you on an errand or gives you a purpose or gives you a vision, don't think everything will be rosy, and that everything is not rosy is only a sign that you didn't hear. No. Persecution arises for the word's sake. As you're declaring, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed into the ground. He sleeps night and day. He rises and the seed springs up. He doesn't know how. So you sow in the morning. You sow in the afternoon. You sow in the night. You're speaking. Why are you speaking? It is not that by the time I say it 200 times, God will hear. It's not God that needs to hear. It's your position that needs to be worn out. Hallelujah. It's not God. God is already faithful. He's already on your side. God is not counting. It's only 5 times you have said it. It's not enough. You are not faithful. Say 17 more times. I will now answer. I'm not convinced. My head is not swelling. That's why some people think that. Is that not the reason why some people think that if I give God 3 hours praise, he will know I'm serious? If you are serious, you are serious. He is not shaking your bum bum that impresses God. Some ideas that we have are really wonderful. I can dance. If I dance for 3 hours and I'm sweating. No. Gabriel, can you see? This dancing is serious. You can also see that this person, go answer quickly. Even Gabriel will look at God there. When the shaking body starts moving you. So we have very funny ideas about. No. You danced in faith. You're rejoicing in faith. And because you were in faith, you were exercising the victory that overcomes the world. Not that you were causing your father's life. No. It is the faith in whatever you are doing that excites your father. It's not the activity. Because somebody else can demonstrate the same faith using another activity. So it can't be the activity. It has to be the faith. Are you with me this morning? It has to be the faith. It is kindergarten Christianity that makes you think that it is. That's what, just take somebody's formula. But our wisdom. So what did you do that make you get that thing? Ah. I should tell you. When pastor was preaching, I just dropped offering. 200,000. Dangerous seed. When you say something is dangerous, like, I don't understand. God lost composure when he saw a check for 100,000 pounds. God said, people are worshiping me. Natural things do not move the Father. It's spiritual realities. He looks at the heart. You can drop $1 million and your heart is far. Hallelujah. Yeah. You can be a Yahoo boy and drop money in church. The ushers will celebrate you. The pastor will be happy you came. God will not. The only time God will be happy is after you drop the money you gave your heart to Christ. So the real offering you give that day is not the money you drop. It is a heart that received Christ. That's how God measures things. Then when your heart belongs to him, anything you give now has value to him. Until then, nothing you do has value to him. Because he didn't give you things, he gave you himself. And in giving himself, he gave you everything. He set the example. He so loved, he gave not things, he gave himself. The extent of love is, I will give you myself. So when he asks you for yourself in service. Hallelujah. That's what we do. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you want, present your body. You present. It is a gift when you present it. It is not a gift when it's forcefully taken. It's a gift because you presented it. That's when it makes the gift. That's where the Father is happy that you presented it. Then the Father is excited because presentation requires knowledge. Hallelujah. It requires knowledge. So it's important that we understand the principle. Learn to stand your ground. Don't let every report bring tears from your eyes. It is wrong. Just tell yourself, I'm discouraged because I heard something. My response is not right. Stand your ground. Pace the floor. If you don't have the strength for it, look for a brother or a sister that has the strength that will say something to you. Call pastor's number. Day and night, my phone is never off. I will say something to you by the Spirit that will jumpstart you. Hallelujah. I have opportunities to be depressed just like you are. I experience opportunities to have Muslims just like you are. I never let it. I can't even afford it. It's too expensive. I must be on my toes all the time. You don't go on vacation from the things of the Spirit. You don't go on vacation. You have to be alert. Instructions are coming. Hallelujah. Instructions are coming. This is 2022, right? 2013. I've shared that before for those who were with us since that time. We had an eviction notice. The former landlady, the landlord died. The daughter took over. Lady started making trouble. It became a police issue. I showed up at the police station once and I told them I wasn't coming again. So after a while, there were some issues with payment. We made payment, but it didn't register in our account. Because we didn't have our account, we had our father's account. So we gave them proof, but she said we should leave the place. So we had just about 2 or 3 months to leave. So we began to pray. I began to pray. And when I was praying, how was I praying? Before a situation arises, provision is available. An answer is available. Don't forget what I just said. Please don't forget what I just told you now. God is a present help. He's our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. If there's trouble, help is available. And help is present. Help is not far. It is what? Present. It is your lips that acknowledges the help that is present or distances itself from the help that is present. It's your lips. What is the first thing you say? It's not Mugbe. You sent money accidentally. I'm finished. Then you will not be finished. You were not finished before until you finished yourself with the statement. You were not finished before. It is now you now finished it with what you now said. Because it's not beyond restoration until you said the wrong thing. Until you said the wrong thing. While I was praying, the Spirit of God so spoke to me. Because I was just thinking, okay, how are we going to do it? The funds we need to get to a new venue. As of that time, we had never had to spend on rent anything above 500,000. Never had to spend anything more than that. And the Spirit of God whispered, there are waters in my reservoir. Waters of increase. Waters of provision. There are waters in my reservoir. And I saw a vision. I've never forgotten it. It's a landmark in my life and ministry. I saw a clay pot, this local clay pot, covered. I saw the cover open. I mean, even a local clay pot that keeps water cool all year round. I saw water was condensed under the cover. I hope you know that happens because of the coolness. So what I was saying, the Spirit of God said that all you spent in ministry has been the water condensed under the cover. It's time to take from the container now. My faith exploded. In 3 months, we raised 4.5 million we didn't borrow. And that's how we got to where we are now. The help was waiting. It's not that when it happened, God was not saying, Gabriel, oh, you didn't tell me before. If you had told me before, we'll have done something. Michael, come back from Asia. Come back from Asia. This problem is serious. Because the way some of us start thinking. Yes. Listen, it's a very one present help. Your lips, you must be careful what you say. They sacked a man in the office. He wasn't expecting it. But a man in fellowship with God is never shocked. They sacked him on the 4th floor. He went up to the 6th floor. People that knew was sacked, thought he wanted to go and jump. The way the brother is going. They got to the 6th floor. One of the rooms there, they found him. The letter of retrenchment was on the floor. And he was worshiping God. Father, thank you. You are faithful. You are faithful. This does not matter. You matter. What you have said matters. He came back some months after to thank them for sacking him because of the projects that he has stepped into that had been waiting and he would never have seen if he wasn't sacked. God always has something better. He always has something far better. Once you're holding on to tenaciously, it's because you are short-sighted. So you think this is my life. That's not your life. Christ is your life. Christ is your life. If Christ can't be cornered, you can't be cornered. Say, I can't be cornered. Say, I can never be stranded. Say, I can never be stranded. I can never be stranded. You can't be stranded. I don't discourage praying fervently. But after you pray fervently, I have strolls. I have personal conversations. Father, no shouting, no raising your voice. I want this thing. Read for me. Thank you. I talk like that. Someone says, what gives that confidence? I have kids. It took a while for my daughter to understand me. She will ask me for something. Daddy, I want, I'll just frown. She now knows that the frown doesn't mean anything. Because she will just receive a lot after I have frowned. So she now knows that the frown means nothing. Just ignore the frown. But like, that is like your default mode is first to say no. Even though they know it's not sincere, you will still do it. And I'm a man. But your own father never even frowns, doesn't say no. He never frowns, doesn't say no. He's always there. Lift your hands this morning. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Blessed be your name, oh Lord. Blessed be your name, oh Lord. Blessed be the one who reigns forever above. Blessed be your name, oh Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, oh Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, oh Lord. Blessed be Lord. Blessed be the one who reigns forever. Blessed be your name. Oh, there's been a struggle in any area in reception, if at any point in time you have been discouraged, I kneel down this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I ask that the mercy of God will prevail in your affairs, in every area where you're lacking, in every area where you have been discouraged, in every area where the enemy has mocked, in every area where you have been waiting, that this season there will be a turnaround. There will be full manifestation. That without fail, the power of God will see you through. It will put you over. That answers will come in quick succession. In the name of Jesus, you will not be ashamed. You will not be disgraced. In the name of Jesus, you will no longer have to wait, but quick answers will come in rapid succession. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you praise. Thank you this morning. Thank you this morning.